Wait, did you hear?
No.
We're diving into the juiciest celebrity profiles of all time.
I'm Beatrice Hazelhurst.
And I'm Ivana Ryder.
This is Uncover Girl.
Hello. Welcome back. Oh, so happy to be back. So much has happened since the last time we recorded.
I know. I was out of the country.
You went out of the country.
Every country in the world had an election or a debate of some kind.
Real, a debate. Yeah. Everyone lost hope in democracy, period.
Yep. A lot happened.
Summer flicks came out, it feels like.
Summer flicks?
Yeah, like Twister, our little guy. It's like, you know, the summer movies are coming.
Yeah. I haven't really seen many summer movies. Have you?
No, not a single summer movie this year.
Chris saw like A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
And said it was ridiculous.
Yeah. That feels about right.
But no, I haven't seen Bad Boys 2, which is a big one.
No. I do think that I may see Twisters now because of our changed perception of Glenn Powell. And now I want to know and I want to support and I want to get my butt in a seat for him.
Yeah, do it. Also, not Glenn Powell. Oh, Maxine.
I
Can
know.
You watch horror?
I do. But I'm very sensitive to it. I'm very sensitive to not horror, all horror. Old horror, I love. I get really stressed out by a like an intruder movie. Like The Strangers remains one of the scariest movies I've ever seen.
Mm. But not like Hereditary.
No, I can take Hereditary. I can take like ghosts. There's something about commonplace crime of like someone breaking into your home and killing you that is what shocks me.
Because it like feels plausible.
It feels like something that could happen versus like, and then I get possessed and then the demons make me do something. It's like, or like Midsummer, you know, it's like, oh, okay, that's probably not going to happen to me.
Totally. The shock value of someone.
Yeah, I'm not going to burn Stephen alive in a bear.
Right.
Most likely.
Well, only time will tell.
Only time
will
tell.
The wedding is just around the corner.
It is nigh. But I need to address something with you. I need to address the elephant in the room, which is that I have gone to Ricardo. I took my wedding garments to Ricardo to alter because
Ricardo is my tailor alterations man.
Yeah, the alterations man who made Beatrice that beautiful gown we discussed in the last episode. And, you know, the leather skirt we discussed in episodes prior. He's one of the side characters of this podcast in many ways. We have a couple, you know, we have like our nemesis who hates us and took us down. We have Ricardo. We have a couple others. We have Chris and Steven, of course. So they're the sort of the outer characters. They create the world that we situate this podcast in. And today that world expanded because I came to him with three dresses, rehearsal dinner dress for both rehearsal dinners and then an after party dress.
I have actual butterflies. I'm like nervous.
No, something's happened. No, don't worry. Okay. No, it's okay. All funny. Let me start off from the bat. Beautiful work. The rehearsal dinner dresses fit me like a glove. He completely fixed them. They're gorgeous. They look like, I mean, they were made to me. So gorgeous job. The after party dress. Let me describe it for you. It's like fully backless. I feel like I've shown you the dress. Cheap little, like nothing. Like I paid like, I don't know, like $80 for it or whatever. And I put it on and I was like, this is kind of exactly what I'm looking for. It's like short, mini thing. I'm going to wear it with a kitten heel. But it was kind of straight. It was falling off the shoulder. And I was like, this is going to be very annoying for me to dance in. So let me just see what Ricardo can do. And he basically was like, you know, we should just put some straps in the back, like very thin little, we can do like little straps and that will cover you. And I was like, okay, great. Like if you have like a little satin fabric, because also he opens so strong. I have done it all and I can make anything and I can fix anything. And I was like, well, fabulous. This is exactly who I need to be talking to then. And so we agreed. I was like, just little satin straps, like if you have something like close to this color, and I think that that'll do it. I arrive to find that he has put strings of gold and silver beading on the back of the dress. He has taken a liberty, like crossed strands of gold and silver beads. And I laughed out loud. I didn't laugh out loud in front of him, but like I couldn't help but laugh because I was like, here it is. Like, this is the Ricardo flair. It's like not giving you what you asked for, but what you need, what you don't know that you want. And I put it on.
Do you like it?
Okay, so unfortunately, I did have to say, like, this is so fun, but I will have, like, other jewelry on, and I don't have any gold. I was like, if we could just go back to the, like, simple design, but, like, thank you so much. Like, I really appreciate the work you put into this. And so he's going to redo it, but he never stops. He never sleeps. He's just always thinking of what's the most extravagant version of something. And for that, my hat's off to him.
No, I had a few people inquire as to what he made me.
Yeah.
What it looks like in the end. It was like a slippery snake of a design. And I've been shocked by the reaction. Like, multiple people were like, do you have pics on? Can you send me? So I sent some mirror pics around, and I think it photographs better than it looks in person, because just the response was like, this is gorgeous. Is that mesh on the sleeves, like glittery golden princess, like people really were excited about it in a way that I couldn't have predicted. And then said, like, I can see you wearing this to XYZ. People could really like envision it in a public place and not a costume context, which I originally imagined it would live. So I was just really excited by the idea of this little kind of three-piece situation that Ricardo whipped up. And look, it continues to be an ongoing point of contention in my household and beyond my household, of just like what his intentions are, how we got here to begin with. But like, I'm just happy to be along for the ride. Like, call me Bianca Censori. I'm happy to show up naked at any family event.
Of course. Well, it's like to be a muse. It's not happening as much these days. And you are, I would say, one of Ricardo's muses for him to be making these garments for you. So it feels like a return to the Renaissance,
to the Renaissance.
The glittering past.
Oh, I see. Renaissance as an era.
Era, yeah.
I agree. We're back in the Gilded Age with Ricardo. He loves sparkle. Like you mentioned, he loves a little bit of extravaganza whenever he can. And that's why I feel totally safe within his measuring tape. He's a man after my own heart.
Exactly. And I did find out that he was married. He is no longer married.
That's what I thought when I saw the little kid baseball picture. But I've never asked. Did you ask that outright?
No. I said that. He said, what are these for? I said, for my wedding. And he said, I was married once. Left it there.
Okay. Okay. But no further details.
No further names. No. I'll save that for when I go pick up my party dress.
You ask the tough questions.
Yeah.
No, he continues to be an enigma. And I think that's what makes him so exciting to us.
I agree.
Well, I would love to know what's inspiring you.
So much. Well, I'm going to say today we are recording on my name day, and that is what's inspiring me. It's sort of like a demi birthday, and they're really only a thing in like Slavic cultures.
Name day?
Yeah, it's my name day. It's Saint Ivan's day, like Saint Ivana's day. And everybody gets one, and it's like a second chance at a birthday. There's something about it, as we've talked about, the pressure having a second wedding takes off the first wedding. Having a second birthday really takes the pressure off the first birthday, because I got to wake up today from like cute little text from my whole family wishing me a happy name day, talk to my grandma on the phone for like an hour. And I think that things need to come in twos. That's my inspiration. You should always do anything important, do it twice. Do it twice and set yourself free. Two birthdays, two weddings, two funerals, whatever needs to happen.
Did you celebrate your name day today?
Well, I did. I made myself like a cute breakfast, and I sat in the yard with Holly. So it was a very chill celebration. But I got myself some ice cream, some mint chip ice cream, which I've been getting into very recently, which has been my MO. I've been eating an incredible amount of ice cream, not working out at all, and just like truly doing none of the things that I thought I would be doing in preparation to my wedding, where I was like, oh my God, I'll of course be gua sha-ing twice a day. And like, of course I'll be in the gym like 3 to 4 times, Pilates as well. Haven't seen the inside of a gym. Haven't done anything. Just been chilling and eating so much mint chip ice cream. Me and Steve have been going for ice cream like almost every night. So
that's a summer joy.
It's a summer joy.
And a wedding won't take that away from you.
No, I love it so much. There's actually really nothing like the end of an evening where you think it's over and then one of us proposes, like, do you want to just go get some ice cream? And my God, it's good.
Oh my God, I had such an ice cream catastrophe yesterday where I was like way too cool for school. We left the beach and like got an ice cream and I was just like walking up the street and I was holding it horizontal as if it was a purse.
Oh my God.
And Chris's best friend Kirby was like, you're being pretty fast and loose with that ice cream. And I was like, well, who wants to like walk with it upright? Like how annoying, like hold it as it's intended to be held at a horizontal angle.
Like a Fendi clutch.
Like a Fendi clutch. And this has never happened to me before. The whole scoop splat on the hot, hot road. That $6.20 ice cream. And I just ate my sad waffle cone without anything in it.
Oh my God.
Just dry, dry waffle.
No. As a kid, and it was like the worst fate, like a fate worse than death. Like, just like, no, 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 please, no.
And I did have a moment of post-cone clarity of like, should I just like eat this off the road? And then I was like, you can't do it. You can't do
it. 5 second rule, though.
Yeah, 5 second rule. Taylor said it best. No, everyone would have judged me. And I just frankly like wasn't in the mind frame to defend myself when the time came. So I let it go. I let it melt down the road as a metaphor for my health and wellness.
I know.
As it stands right now.
You may notice we are not in the same room. I don't know if listeners can notice, but it's because sweet Beatrice is sick and forging
on. I'm sick. I'm coming off a journey, which actually leads me to my inspiration.
I'd love to hear it.
My inspiration this week is the United States of America.
Amazing.
Not politically, but culturally.
Ooh.
So anyone who follows this podcast is probably well aware of my visa struggles. I tried to do it in Serbia for your wedding and my lawyer basically called me up and was like, you stupid little slut, why would you go to the Balkans? Haven't you heard they're horribly corrupt? For people who aren't familiar with the US immigration system, you have to leave the country and have an interview at an outside US embassy. You go up to a bank teller, they ask you a couple questions, and they're in that moment, in that 3 to 7 minute window, they can approve or deny your visa. So even though it's been approved by US immigration, they have the final word in that moment. If they don't feel you, if the vibe's not quite right, they'll just be like, so this is denied, thank you so much, and hand your passport back to you. If you get it approved, they take your passport away, glue stick a piece of paper into your passport, send it to an unknown location like a drug deal, and you go and pick it up when they tell you you can. The other thing is that it's really hard to get interviews. One in London popped up and I was like, I've just got to take it. I've got to take this London interview. So very spontaneous trip across the pond to the UK. You and I have both been to London like a handful of times. And there's always a kind of a kinship with the Commonwealth. But I got to say, the United States has made me very soft as an individual. And I simply cannot hang. I can't hang with the British culture in a number of ways. And I truly envy and I admire those who have forged a life in the UK. Our British listeners worship you, die for you. But the vibes are tough, mostly because I think I'm so used to the just like the overwhelming showering of niceness that comes with the United States. Like everyone is so friendly. I had so many instances of being in like a restaurant, like a retail shop where there were rolling of eyes. There were like my friend told me if he goes into a store and asks for another size, he actively gets scoffed at. I was at a restaurant and we were sitting there for a while and then my friend goes, oh, I'm sorry, can we just grab a couple menus? And she goes, And we were like, I'm so sorry. We're just patrons of this establishment. And that was kind of like the running theme everywhere. And a friend came over from Paris to stay with me. And obviously the French aren't famous for their warmth. She was like, this is crazy. Like, it was just like, it was a passive aggressive energy that ran through the whole kind of trip. And I mean, I was staying at like the most insane places through press benefits. I was going to review a couple of hotels while I was there. And I went out into the countryside and stayed at what can only be described as the most beautiful English polo field resort imaginable. Prince Harry has his own kind of suite. Like, oh my God. It's perfect in every way. And it's so old. It was like established in the 1100s, which also shows like just the history of this land. But we're sitting at breakfast, the most beautiful bounty you can imagine. And the British guests there were just so miserable. Like, it was like deadpan face. Not a smile could be cracked for any of the servers. And I was like, are you kidding? Like, this is so sick. I mean, and we went for a horse ride. And my horse had been out earlier in the day. And the kind of the trainer said to me, like, oh, he's probably a bit tired. Like, he's not going to canter or anything. And we got back to the stables and this woman was kind of like, how was he? And I was like, oh, I think he was a bit tapped out, made a joke, you know, like 5 p.m. checkout. And she goes, I'm afraid that's actually the rider. He can sense when people are a bit shaky and he basically like he'll compensate for that. And I was like, oh, yeah, I don't know if it was that because I was really kind of pushing him into like a fast trot and beyond and I can ride. And I was just like, I don't know if it was like a sensing of the experience thing. And she goes, I'm afraid it would have been. Yep.
Oh, it would have been. My God.
And it was like these experiences, but everywhere, not a smile could kind of melt the icy exterior of the British people. And I'm aware that this is reality. Like, even when I go back to New Zealand, I find this to be the case. I remember moving to New York and Americans saying to me, New Yorkers are like so mean, they're the worst. And finding New Yorkers the nicest people on the planet. And people saying, if you think these people are nice, like, you've got to go to the South. You've got to go to the Midwest. Coming back into the warm embrace of America on 4th of July, no less. Like, I got my passport hours before my flight out of there. Walked up to customs and she was like, oh my God, if you want to beat the line next time, download this app. Like, just so lovely and nice. And I was like, my God, I don't care if it's inauthentic, disingenuous. I love it. I love a smile. Like, sue me.
Also, this coming from a customs officer who are not famous for their warmth.
It was just such a stark difference that I found kind of like the warmest people in London to be like the internationals. I just don't think it's my town.
Well, and I feel like you and I experienced some of this when we were pulling up to Ibiza and watching those young women from the UK like breaking down onto the ground as if they had just heard like their entire family was gone. Mm-hmm. Because their club clothes were like left back wherever they flew from.
Yeah.
And yeah. I also realized like in watching like the Love Islands and whatever, like there is a different culture. Like, we are one world, but there are different norms depending on where you live.
No, have you been watching Love Island USA?
No, but I need to start because I've heard that this season something's going on. Something incredible is happening.
First of all, I've never watched Love Island USA. I figured it was like a Skins US situation where like tragic. Don't even go there.
Yeah.
Absolute tragedy. But I have heard that this season's amazing and I can attest it truly is. And in the first episode, Ivana, first episode, there's a British guy and they're like, what do you love most about America? And he says, I love that the people are happy.
Whoa.
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? I just like, I love to walk down the street and someone be like, love your skirt. That's the day. That's the day.
That's a normal day here.
You find a Ricardo around every corner
in
the United States. I've just become so patriotic.
The lead in to our profile happened a little bit ago, and I'm going to return to our conversation about summer and ice cream. After doing so much research on this person, that the sweet desserts come up more than you'd expect. in this person's career style. We're talking about Katy Perry, our cupcake pop princess of the mid-2000s, who is in the midst of a bit of a rebrand. And so we thought there would be no better time than to return to her than this moment, because this began for us, as all things do, in a shared, unspoken, we both agreed somehow that we were going to do this profile slash episode even before we talked to each other about it. But I sent you a TikTok of hers as she's singing one of her new songs, looking a little bit scary these days. And I was like, we need to address the elephant in the room, yes, which is that she's changed completely. I don't know what's next for Katy Perry, and we're all about to find out at the same time. And I'm curious where you sit on her, and if you were like a Katy Perry head growing up.
Not a Katy Perry head. I loved all her singles. I respected how much of a chameleon she could be. Like jumping on the Con Karma remix with Daddy Yankee to say like, "Mi amo Katy Perry," and then having a Bon Appetit Baby moment with Migos during the rise of Atlanta rap, and then Calvin Harris and Pharrell, and then like the I Kissed a Girl firework, Teenage Dream, and then that song, oh, where Carl XY appeared in the video. I really like tip my hat because she works hard. Like she wants it, and she's not someone who you're like, oh my God, look at her. She's so perfect and everything comes so easy to her. And she's always, yeah, always working. She's never,
oh,
off.
Yeah. And I really respect did that. In doing my like research on her background, reveal that she is one of the people that really tried on a couple different hats and had like her fair share of failures before she made it to the top, and is acutely aware of the work that it takes to remain on top. And she really did. I mean, like she broke so many records with her singles. Teenage Dream, her 2010 album, which comes a year before this 2011 Vanity Fair profile that we're going to talk about today. The singles off of that are Madness, California Girls, Teenage Dream, Firework, E.T., Last Friday Night, all on that album.
Yeah.
My God.
Recession pop, that was such a moment in time.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone just wanted to party always.
And Katy experienced like all the big moments that a performer can. She's performed at the Super Bowl. She's won Grammys. She's performed at like all the prestigious occasions. She's gone to the Met Gala. She's kind of done it all. And now she's in like a new moment. And so to really understand where she is now, we have to go back to the beginning. She was raised in Santa Barbara, moved around a ton, but like home base of Santa Barbara, California, to Pentecostal pastors. They were not allowed to eat Lucky Charms because luck sounded too much like Lucifer. They called deviled eggs angeled eggs. She grew up extremely religious. So it is shocking to me that after this very Christian upbringing, her big breakout, which she co-wrote with Dr. Luke, tragically, was I Kissed a Girl, and felt very radical for her upbringing.
Have you seen the Charlie XCX comparisons at the moment?
Yes.
With everyone being like, Katy, yeah, stop trying to be Charlie. I do find it interesting that Katy seemed to be on the precipice of being like, I'm just not going to make it. I have to give up. And like Charlie also on Brat was musing like, will I ever get mainstream success? Like maybe not. Do I just like walk away from this and live a normal life? And I don't know what it is, but it always seems to happen where you're just like, I'm done. After this one, that's it. That's me. I'm like turning off the tap,
yeah,
and
that's
trying something
so
else. And that's when
true.
You pop off.
Oh my God. It's sort of scary.
Yeah. You have to be like at the actual brink and then you've earned it now.
That's so true.
You've been tested enough.
That's so true. But this profile, it's Vanity Fair, summer of 2011, written by Lisa Robinson, and the deck reads, after a sheltered, born-again childhood, Katy Perry turned herself into pop pantheistic. I fucked it. Princess.
It's tough.
Pantheistic. That's it. Katy Perry turned herself into, and you know what?
Yeah,
keep that in. Keep that in. Don't edit that out. Eager to experiment with herself, her art, and her marriage to the controversial British comedian Russell Brand. Finding the 26-year-old musician amid the cupcakes, cotton candy, and cleavage of her world tour, Lisa Robinson learns about the reasons for last year's super secret wedding, the core beneath the cute fest, and the belief that made Perry a multi-platinum star. Insane moment for Katy Perry. I remember the Russell Brand marriage relationship. Like, why was it in India? We may never know. They were super private about it, but also not that private. Russell Brand is a known asshole. And Katy Perry in this moment is just like one of the biggest things in pop. It's like Lady Gaga. It's Katy Perry. 2011 was a huge year for music. I mean, just like everyone was doing the most, I think, on red carpets. We forget how insane Katy Perry looked at all the time. Like, she was just like wearing cupcakes on her head, like so like campy and fun. Looking back at some of those photos now, it's insane.
No, it is insanity. Suki Waterhouse recently in her British Vogue interview was talking about how everything now is so clean and pared back. Everyone takes themselves too seriously to have that much fun with anything anymore, to like push the boundaries. And she was like, back in the 2010s, like It Girls were out and they were quite obviously like having fun. Now it's like between the paid paparazzi and like flawless faces, it's like, who could tell? But back then things were a little messy, and that was so exciting. That was so fun and fresh. And
I mean, now it's so interesting because I feel like the people that you follow on social media, or even just friends, when I'm seeing friends where it's like, oh my God, their lives look so fun and glamorous. And then I find out they're like, you know, elbows deep into like a mental health like breakdown. And it's like things are always with through rose colored glasses, I think now. They can't not be. It would be too intense to, you know, show up to a red carpet like unstyled and something like you just picked out. I don't think, like, I don't know who's doing that these days.
Totally. Yeah, no, it's down to every single detail curated. And we're losing something in that.
And I think Lisa, the author here, gets to the heart of some of this stuff. Lisa Robinson, who wrote this story, joined Vanity Fair in 1999. And even before that, she was like a columnist at the New York Post, edited several rock magazines. She has profiled, I mean, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, Jay-Z, Adele, Kendrick Lamar, Lizzo, Eminem, everyone that's sort of like some of the biggest stars in the world. She has profiled and had cover stories. And she's written a few books and a memoir recently, talking about how, like, her life in music. So music was really like her beat. And it's interesting. Like, I cannot tell how she comes into this, how she feels about Katy Perry coming into this, and how she feels leaving. But I feel like there is like a respect here in that Katy Perry actually has a really fascinating story and a point of view and a sense of self, and isn't afraid to express it. So I feel like it comes through in this profile, which opens thus. The names of the stars residing at the Beverly Hills Hotel on Grammy weekend sound like a Monty Python version of King Arthur and his Knights of the Round Table. Prince, Lady Gaga, Sir Mick Jagger, and the staff of Sir Elton John. Across the town at the Los Angeles Forum, which 3 decades ago hosted concert by the Rolling Stones and Led Zeppelin, pop princess Katy Perry rehearses for her 41-city, 9-month California Dreams World Tour. Tonight, 3 nights before the Grammys, Katy has 4 nominations, including the all-important Album of the Year. She'll do a run-through of the show for her family and friends. And we get to know her family a bit. Her parents are there. They are still ministers. But her mom, Mary, claims she dated Jimi Hendrix at one point. And she's there in like a cute leather jacket. Her dad, who hung out with Timothy Leary in the 60s, is bald, also in a leather jacket. And understandably, Katy is like, this is not what you'd expect from a Christian minister, but they're cool. They're cool Christian ministers. And that's where she hails from.
It is so odd that her breakout songs were like You're So Gay and I Kissed a Girl. Also, I only recently found out You're So Gay was written about Pete Wentz. What? I'm obsessed with that fact. That is the most 2006 pop culture gossip. I love it. But yeah, I mean, at this point in time, what are they going to do? She is the biggest artist on the planet. 6 million Twitter followers, which would have been insane in 2011. And this tour, which she describes as candy on crack, is like absolutely humongous. Oh my God, I would have died to have gone to the California Dreams tour. I'm sure she came to New Zealand. But I just remember like the chokehold of last Friday night. Like, I was in Italy and it played on the radio every single day. It was that and Moves Like Jagger. Right.
Last day of school, we got out early. And I remember we drove straight to Laguna Beach blasting California Girls at like top volume. And it is one of my most visceral memories of youth. Top down in my friend's car, just screaming the lyrics.
I goes, you know, we're always talking about clout. Who has it and who doesn't? And that is why I've got to introduce you to Noumi's Clout Control Anti-Frizz Spray. This product is a literal revelation. It forms a protective coat over each individual strand of hair. And it also has a built-in UV filter. All summer long while you're frolicking, swimming, whatever, your hair is protected from sun damage. It's got wheat protein. It's got vitamin E, keeping your hair healthy, shiny, and most importantly, long, if that's your goal. And you only need to use it like every 3 to 4 washes. It's really long lasting and it's going to leave everyone asking, how on earth does her hair look like that? Ivana and I both have like long, thick, frizz prone hair, and I cannot recommend a brand or a product enough. I quite literally use Noumi's flat iron every single day. As you know, I can't go a day without my hair being sleek and smooth. And Noumi's Clout Control helps with that immensely. Head to noumihair.com. That's NUMEhair.com. And take 15% off at checkout with the code UNCOVER. That's NUMEhair.com. 15% off with the code UNCOVER. We are so excited for you to try this. No frizz, no flyaways. Get that clout control going.
I can't imagine the power of having been a California girl when California Girls was released. Like, I tear up listening to California Girls. Tone 10, fit and ready. Turn it up because it's getting heavy, you know? Wild Wild West Coast. These are the girls I love the most. Like, it's just, it's poetry.
It was big. It was big.
The law that it was a direct response to Jay-Z and Alicia Keys' New York song. That now, what's the title?
All That's Coming is Empire State of Mind, and that's not it.
That's right.
That's not what
that's
it's called.
It. No, it is. I think
is
it's
it that?
Empire. Yes. Yes, it is. It is. You're right.
Oh, my God. Doing, like, a different take on, like, the, like, West Coast versus East Coast.
So I have to disagree with you because I think Lisa likes her. That was like my take from the jump. She describes her kind of out the gate as like the Dolly Parton of pop. She says that she is like a smart, serious songwriter beneath that kind of cartoonish exterior. And the fact that she's like only 26, but is already proving that she has the capacity to be a lasting artist is like something really impressive. And she also like thinks that her taste is like spot on. Obviously, Katie couldn't mm-hmm. grow up listening to secular. Is it secular or non-secular? Correct me.
Secular. Secular. The music we are listening to is secular music.
Right. She wasn't allowed to listen to anything other than Christian music. So like secular artists like Miley Cyrus and Patti Griffin and Tom Waits were fully off limits. So her friends would like sneak her CDs, and that's how she developed her music taste. And all this seems to impress Lisa, it feels like.
I mean, it impresses me because also all she was read was the Bible. Like, she didn't grow up reading any kids' books. She didn't grow up like with any of the normal stuff that sort of many of us were raised on. And I think it's interesting because I wonder if her imagination is so wild and big because she lacked these early fantastical worlds that so many people were exposed to. Like, I feel like there were Harry Potter kids, there were Twilight kids, and like there were so many. All the kids' books are so big and colorful. I cannot imagine where your mind goes if all you have is the Bible and Christian music.
It all, I mean, Paris is Burning was her favorite documentary, the like 80s drag queen doco, like Showgirls, yeah. Like was her favorite movie. Like, all of this informed her, and it is so interesting how the old hard learned lesson of parenting seems to be like the tighter the grip, the more left the kids end up going, you know? And she is like an absolute example of that, like blonde Katie Hudson from Santa Barbara, who is obsessed with drag queens and like these big pop icons, and then obviously ends up shooting whipped cream from her boobs.
That's exactly it. And at the point that we're catching her, she's newly married to Russell Brand. She is making
so much money, enough money that she reportedly paid $15,000 to skywrite to Russell that she loved him, and also bought him like a $200,000 trip to outer space. She flew everyone to India for her wedding. Like, she is, I mean, she is rolling in money, rolling in cupcakes, and she doesn't have to worry about too much. She's also the voice of Smurfette in the upcoming Smurfs movie.
That's big money.
She's best friends with Rihanna. They bonded over a Valentino handbag initially. And she's not struggling with it. I think it's so funny that Lisa includes, like, she's experimented only briefly with drugs and says they're not a part of her life. These days, I'm too busy to even have a glass of wine. And so there isn't this sort of pained portrait of an artist that, you know, is suffering for their art, or it's like, you know, I struggled with addiction and here's my redemption arc. Like, it's a 26-year-old girl who's just like, I want the world to be colorful and I want rainbow sprinkles for all the girls from this coast to that coast, and I want to have fun.
She says, like, when she dies, she wants her ashes put in a firework and shot over the Santa Barbara coast. Like, she's having fun. She's a fun gal.
Yeah.
And that honestly even gives me Glenn Powell in a way of just like, yeah, I'm like doing what I enjoy and I don't care about the pretension of it all. Like, I'm not trying to necessarily make critically acclaimed art. I'm like happy to like have fun and help other people have fun.
There is a quote in here, like a little anecdote she talks about. She was a guest on Sesame Street and they ended up not airing the episode because the dress she wore, they thought was too revealing. And so they just put it online instead. It was like a little like yellow prom dress. And even to that, she's kind of like, oh yeah, I don't give a shit. Like, you know, they could have told me to change. They didn't. They can do whatever they want. And I'm like, I would be sick over that.
Yeah.
That to me is the equivalent of like when I hooked that woman's stroller with my purse, of just like, oh no, like,
yeah,
I've endangered the children. Like, I've hurt, you know, I've upset people. And she somehow, for being one of the biggest pop stars in the world right now, is really just like, yeah, it's no worries.
She sought out Alanis Morissette's producer really early on, and he describes her that same way. He's like, Katie communicates fun and passion. Her music sounds like a celebration, but it's clear to me there's great intelligence behind it. Katie's emotional range and stylistic range are enormous. And this really struck me, dude, reading this profile, was how many insanely like respected secondary sources Lisa has gotten to for this, and the way that they speak of her.
Yes, I agree. I was surprised.
They see her as highbrow. They're like, she's got the range.
Yes.
She's a great songwriter. She's really smart the way she's going about it. And I think because we're so willing to kind of pigeonhole women as like, you are sexy and fun, or you're intelligent and serious and like never the twain shall meet. And the fact that she is straddling both worlds makes her an anomaly.
That's exactly it. And it's true. Yeah. Like all of the poll quotes are just Dave Stewart from Eurythmics saying people don't realize how gifted she is. She can sing, her songwriting skills. She could be singing with an orchestra or a rock band and pull it all off.
Yeah. That's high, high praise.
It's high praise. And she, of course, had her fair share of like, she was dropped by a record label. She had to struggle. She started in the Christian music space and then switched to pop. And I mean, you know, she herself reached out to Alanis Morissette's producer, Glenn, who we talked about a minute ago, which to me suggests a lot of drive and ambitious on her part of just like, I'm going to step in and try to make something happen for myself.
And self-assurance. I mean, to be in your early 20s and to have producers be like, okay, we want to make you like an Avril Lavigne type, or we want to make you a Kelly Clarkson type. And her being like, actually, that's not the mold that I fit. That's bravery, because we've lost a lot of young female talent to men in the room being like, we're actually looking for the next Britney. Can you do that or not? And her just like staying true to herself. I mean, that's what's made her a star. And I actually think, not to get ahead of ourselves here, but that's where she's gone wrong a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is she's lost sight of that. And she's tried to kind of like go with where the trends are moving. And we're missing like the I kissed a girl, like the you're so gay authenticity.
The self-assurance required. I don't know if you've seen the photograph in the Met Gala bathroom when she wore the hamburger as her dress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One, that is a woman who does not take herself too seriously. And I think that is also where we're diverging now, is she is taking herself more seriously, which, like, you know, maybe comes with age. All good. Like, I'm here and I'm curious to see what the journey holds. But I couldn't help but look back at some of those photos and just say, wow, here she is next to a bunch of people, like, taking this night so seriously, in these gowns where they can't breathe, in these, like, sort of, you know, architectural pieces that are meant to really, like, bring out their beauty and figures and everything. And she is in a hamburger.
Yeah.
And that was always her take.
And she's ridiculed for that too. I mean, that is probably the biggest critique against her, is that it's like, huh? And in reality, I think she's just like, that's just a side of my personality. And in the same breath, she's like, but I am multidimensional, like every woman. People didn't think I had anything to offer except the one trick pony of I kissed a girl. And then with Firework, with this album, they saw a little bit more. And then she says, I don't have a time bomb ticking concerning my career, but I know exactly what my third and fourth records will sound like. That was such an interesting take for me. I don't have a time bomb ticking. Because I think a lot of young female artists feel that way. There's also obviously so much ageism.
Oh, yeah. It's like now or never. 40. Now or never.
Yeah, exactly. Seize the moment while you can. Go, go, go. And obviously her musical trajectory or her career itself has taken many different routes. Obviously she's now a judge on a reality TV show. That's not necessarily like the standard track. So it's interesting that she has this kind of like foresight and that the self-confidence like keeps shining through. She has star power.
Yes.
I think that's what it is more than anything else. She has it.
Yes. And I'm also addicted to hearing people talk this way about their careers, of like people talking about like, oh, you know, life is long. The days are long. There's enough time to do everything. I'm in no hurry. I'm in no rush. There is no such thing as strike while the iron is hot. It's like, if you're good, if you have true talent, the iron will always be hot and opportunities will come again and again in various forms. Mm-hmm. I feel like nothing brings me more peace than hearing people talk about careers that way, because more often than not, it's the other way of like, you have to just hustle and grind while you can, while you're relevant, like, you know, use your 10 minutes in the sun as much as you can, like really milk it all. And that is never inspiring to me to hear. I'm always just like, oh, wow. Like that sounds like a really lovely way to like destroy a year of your life with like a lot of pressure and panic.
Exactly. And I think that's what leads people to the edge. Like they have a break.
Yes, totally. Totally.
Are you like fascinated to see what's going to happen with Sabrina Carpenter stratospheric rise? Yeah.
I'm fascinated. No, I mean, and it's like this couldn't be more well timed because we are back in a pop girl moment. It's like, you know, there's been a million and one articles now of like Charlie XCX, Sabrina Carpenter, Chapel Roan. What is going on? Like pop is back. Pop, pop, pop. The pop girls. And Katy Perry is one of these girls in my mind of like the pantheon, you know, that came before them, the ones who they are stepping on her shoulders in one way or another. Sabrina especially.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of like quote unquote these like silly songs, but if you actually listen to some of the lyrics, they're smart and quippy and interesting. And I think that we need to learn from our mistakes in the past and take them all seriously and hear what they have to say.
I know. I think she is so informed by her past in so many ways. Yeah. I mean, she talks about growing up and she's like, I didn't really have a childhood. And that seems to be something she really held on to. Like she was only read the Bible. She now just like goes to sleep instantly when she tries to read, because obviously she associates any literature with, I mean, the Bible's not riveting, is it?
No.
Is that blasphemous to say?
I think that's okay.
But this concept of like how evangelist and like intense this environment of her upbringing was, I mean, she used to speak in tongues and like this so reminded me, I don't know if you've seen it, the video of her like speaking Simlish for the Sims soundtrack.
Yes, I have seen it.
Oh my God, I have to play it. It's Last Friday Night, but in Simlish.
Yeah, I'd like to see that.
Wait.
But it's a probing nope. But it's a probing nope. But it's a probing nope. Rampy Fervor Perbidex. Wara Ufa Monorex. Rampy Fervor Perbidex. Wara Ufa Monorex. Rampy Fervor Perbidex.
Like, it's still a banger.
Did she make it up?
Yeah.
My favorite thing.
I love it. I absolutely love it.
I really love what they get into here because I don't know if you remember this, but how big her documentary was at this time and how, like, essential makeup, the way that she was like, yeah, Kate became such a like a part of her identity. It's really interesting because Lisa gets into makeup with her here and talks about the fact that like she's pretty much natural, her hair's pulled back, she hasn't got much on,
yeah,
and that the makeup has become something of a mask for Katy Perry. Like, she doesn't consider herself a hot girl in any way, shape or form. She just considers herself very ordinary. Whereas growing up, I think she was one of the biggest sex symbols of,
oh, yeah,
our generation. Like, I really think that every guy in high school was absolutely obsessed with her. Like, banging bod, girl next door face, like the whole package. And Lisa writes because she used to have acne and because, this is what I found weird about it. She used to weigh 145 pounds.
Yeah, wait, I know.
It might take her a bit longer to feel comfortable in her skin. Yeah, what is that? What is
How
that?
How tall is she? I feel like that's a very normal weight. No, for no reason.
That's a thin.
I'm looking it up. Height. Let's go.
For our non-American listeners, I think 145 pounds is like 60 kg.
Yeah.
Like, it's low.
It's low. It's objectively low. She's 5'8".
She's 5'8", and she weighed 65 kg. And they're talking about her like she was, like, breaking the scales.
God. We were broken.
That's
crazy.
Our society, that's 2011.
I know.
That's because insane.
There is also the sentence where Lisa writes, during our talk, her hair is pulled away from her face, most of her makeup has rubbed off, and she looks fabulous. Eventually, she'll see that she doesn't need all those hair extensions or the blue wig. She's a great-looking girl.
It's like, let her live,
yeah,
Lisa.
No, sometimes but also, we want them.
It sounds like, but it's also like Lisa came of age in like 1999.
No,
like,
of course.
This was a different.
No, and yeah, it is a compliment. Like, Lisa's giving her such a sweet compliment here. It's just one that like doesn't hold up to our standards today. Where whenever a woman is wearing a bunch of makeup and guys are like, oh, like, I'm going to take her to a pool for the first date, I'm like, shut
right
up. It's so boring to comment on it like that.
And maybe I'm wearing a blue wig for me.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that?
Maybe I like it. I like the way it makes me feel.
Okay, so the 145 pounds thing, like, I thought was kind of a joke. Like, I couldn't wrap my head around that in writing.
No.
Like, as if that was a weight to be so ashamed of.
Yeah, I would say it's low. Insane. Isn't it low?
It's so low. You know, it is low. It is low.
It's like, this is someone that's like really paying attention to it, really working at it.
Working hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our next source is someone that Beatrice and I know, love, care for. Perez Hilton, who famously loved to take a pop girly down, but was an early Katy supporter. They met at his birthday party. This feels like such like a relic of this time. He had several bands performing, including Beth Ditto and The Gossip.
And The Gossip.
I know. The Gossip. I've interviewed Beth Ditto before, and she was lovely. And we like talked about this time. It's just like it was different back then. And Katy was there in the crowd rocking out at the front. And he was like, I loved that she loved the music so much. In many ways, Katy reminds me of a young Gwen Stefani. Gwen's been away from the music scene for a while, doing the mommy thing and taking her time to make new music with No Doubt. And Katy has filled that void, much like Gaga has filled the Madonna void.
Mm.
And that, like, she's not some manufactured act. He says, I love that she's still opinionated and fun and the same warm girl I met 4 years ago.
That's so true.
And that from him? That from him?
No, that is... That man does not dole out compliments easily.
High, high praise. And her sister sort of enters the scene and talks about how, like, she's always had it. Like, she walks into a room and everybody turns to stare. She always knew how to win the school talent shows or make heads turn when she walked into her sixth grade classroom wearing a signature leopard print jacket. It seems like she always has been who she is. And I feel like people say similar things about Britney. People say similar things where it's like, I always knew that they would be the one.
Yeah, but I think what distinguishes her from Britney is that Britney was like, I mean, Britney was Michael Jordan. Britney was a once in a lifetime talent that was obvious from when she was 6 or 7 years old. Katie was up against like a myriad of doubters. There was so much rejection at every turn. She fought for this out of sheer kind of self-belief. She was like, I looked into what was out there and I didn't see anyone like me, my style, my opinions. I had something to offer that no one else brought to the marketplace. It's very Glen Powell, the way that she sees the game. She's talking about her career like an artichoke. And she was like, people might think that the leaves are tasty and buttered up and delicious, and they don't even know that there's something magical hidden at the base of it, which I'm obsessed.
Yeah.
And she says, I think eventually you'll see more layers with me. There's a whole other side that people didn't know existed. And that's so real. Like, just to plug away in the city of Los Angeles, having to deal with the constant, like, emailing and following up and trying to meet someone to meet someone to meet someone to make your career pop off. And then it finally happens. That must just make it all feel so much more worth it. And just validating when the success does start to stream in, as opposed to like a Britney situation where it's so exciting that this becomes your job, but you don't want everything else that comes with it. There's like more like a sense of like, okay, like I know I've been waiting for this. I'm ready and like, let's go. And that really seems to be where she's at. I mean.
Yeah. And she just has a really chill approach to life in that she is not doing the here's my sob story or here's who I am, here's what I'm getting into right now, which, I mean, even Russell Brand was doing at this time. Like, he was like going around talking about like, you know, transcendental meditation and like why everyone should be like, you know, of the Hindu faith. And when asked about it by Lisa, she's just like, I'm open to possibility. You know, he respects where I'm coming from. And she just is like very chill. She likes to look into the sky. Like, she's just like, my mind is open to being expanded and I'm good with whatever.
She has an incredible quote here about her parents, which I think as a 26-year-old is so wise. She says, we coexist. I don't try and change them anymore. And I don't think they try and change me. They're excited about my success. They're happy that things are going well for their children and they're not on drugs or in prison. And it's like, that's simple. It's that simple. Yeah. It's like, we can believe what we want to believe and move together as a unit and not have that compromise like our love or connection. And I mean, it doesn't surprise me though that she's been drawn to someone like Russell Brand, who does feel like in this moment a spiritual extremist kind of
they
met because she had a small kissing cameo with him and Get Him to the Greek. And then they just kept flirting. She insisted he take her to dinner. It carried on like this as like a public courtship. And then I guess he would just like talk about their relationship publicly, right? And that's where a line in the sand was drawn.
Yeah. They had like a New Year's Eve wedding in India with an elephant and rose petals, and they decided that in that moment it was going to be top secret. So they were done talking about their private life, and she flew everyone out to India, and like they were just like, this is for us. She tells Lisa that Russell has turned her on to Morrissey, Nick Cave, and meditation, while Katie has turned Russell, an admitted slut, on to monogamy.
To say an admitted slut in Vanity Fair print is incredible.
I know. This quote, fascinating to me, and I need your take. Katie says, he's never lied to me once. I trust him. There's just a level of trust that we've built up. And the press is just not your friend when it comes to a marriage.
I mean, so their relationship ended. because
2 years. They were married 2 years.
2 years. And you can correct me because I don't know the details, but I don't think she's ever revealed what really happened. But there was something big that she uncovered. And she like left it at that publicly. Like, we'll never really know. We also saw that he ended their marriage with a text message. But something came to light, so to speak. So this was just like an interesting quote of her saying, he's never lied to me. I trust him. And there's a level of trust that we've built up. I gotta say, it just like, it doesn't bode well for men in general. Like when you think you know someone and then you're like, well, surprise.
No.
I advocate for checking the phone.
I know. And then, I mean, there were things clearly because he was just this year accused of rape, assault, and emotional abuse between like 2006, 2013.
Right during their marriage years.
Yes. Yes. Tragically. And he also found the Christian faith and was baptized in an attempt to, it seems like, wash away whatever happened. Yeah. Like four women came forward. And so I can't imagine how sick Katy Perry felt, but probably also vindicated in that whatever she found out, whether it was this or something else, who knows? Like, we will never know why someone ends a marriage, but now she's happily with Orlando Bloom, and Orlando's talking to you all about that.
That's right. That's right. I actually really wanted to get your take on this quote. She actively says to Lisa, like, look, we were offered millions and millions of dollars to share our wedding pictures with the magazines. We chose not to. We chose to keep this private between us, this beautiful romantic moment. And yet 2 days later, she appears on the Grammy stage and projected behind her is a video of their wedding ceremony. And Lisa's like, okay, like, wait, what? And Katy responds by being like, I felt that that moment was right and not forced. We'd had our time to savor that moment privately, and then we were sharing it with people when we're ready, not for a paycheck. I loved the idea because I thought it was beautiful and artistically accompanied the song that I wrote for him, and that's what she sang on the Grammy stage. I found that interesting because there seems to be some sort of exchange of herself and what she will share and what she won't, and it's not necessarily about money, but it's like for the furtherment of her career. And I don't think she even knows that. Like, from the way that she spends with the skywriting,
yeah,
it just was an interesting kind of paradox to me, because she was like, I'm fine to mind my personal life if it's going to ensure continued relevance and staying power in this industry. It just doesn't have to come with a check.
I also think she's smart enough to know that it doesn't elevate your star power to sell your wedding photos to People magazine.
Right.
It's like, it doesn't do anything for you in the cultural cachet to do that. And this way, it's on her terms. It's like, she played the video during one of her big moments. It wasn't just an article that came out, you know, at a time that she doesn't have the say on anyway, with photos that, like, you know, a selection that they chose, an editor chose. It's like, this is all on my stage. Like, what I say goes, not what you say.
Yeah. But there's also an element of like, she didn't have to do it. She didn't have to do it at all.
No, exactly. It wasn't so precious and private that you never showed them.
Exactly. Which I find fascinating.
Yeah.
She's smart and she's thinking. Like, she's a couple steps ahead at all times. Yeah. And I feel like Lisa just kind of caught her in something here.
Oh, and yeah. Also, I mean, her justification that, like, she's like, you know, we had the time to relish, which was like an extra 48 hours after the last time she talked to Lisa, of like, we would never give these to the public. Like, this was something just for us. And it's
we did one rewatch party and then I was good to go. Let anyone see it.
Yeah.
Throw it out there.
It's so, so funny. The two day time frame. But I've been there. It's hard. I mean, I also said that I wasn't going to show a soul my wedding dress. And now I've shown, like, everyone, including, like, the sweet man that works at the Ralph's up the road, who was like, you're getting married soon. And I was like, I know. He's like, let me see your dress. And, like, so I can't keep things a secret. I can't, like, that. Like, friends' secrets, going to the grave with me, my own secrets, or like gifts I'm getting for people, or like surprises, cannot do it. Can't do it. Showing everyone, telling everyone.
No, I will be exactly the same. I will be unsolicitedly sharing those images.
You're like, look at this, look at that.
Someone said to me the other day, and I was like, oh, I never really thought about it. We were talking about like the barrage of engagements recently and how like strange it is that you have this like life-changing, deep moment of connection when someone proposes and then you have to kind of stop and like take photos.
Yeah.
It is just such a weird process where you're like, okay, that's enough of that. That's enough of like, and that's enough of that proposal. The hand outstretched, like, no, I don't like it. Like,
because there's also no one right way, because it's like, okay, if you hire a photographer, then this moment is shared between you, the love of your life, and the photographer that's there being like, closer together, like, okay, and now what, you know, yes. hand on his chest. And it's like, the three of you are now experiencing this. It's not just you.
No.
And then if you choose to not do the photographer, which like, we didn't, because it felt crazy to like let someone in on that personal moment, like even like friends being there like in the moment that it's happening, or like family rushing in right at that moment felt crazy. But even then we had to be like, okay, well, we need to get at least one photo of like where it happened and how it happened, like in the immediate aftermath. And then we're just like silent side by side.
Yeah,
it's tragic.
Just like delayed it. No, I don't. No. Yeah. Like, not wait, that no, one. The light. Can one. We move it? Can you just move up like a little bit?
Yeah.
Just, it's insane. It really is so, so funny. Nothing is anything at the end of the day.
No, no, no. And then we arrive.
We're backstage at the Grammys.
We're there. I feel like we don't get this anymore because press doesn't always get access to moments such as this. But I love that we get a little look behind the curtain here. She's applying glitter. She's painting little red hearts on her pink press-on nails.
The sentence really is a timestamp for 2011. I'm overdressed, but fuck it, she told me as we watched R. Kelly perform and bring the house down. On club.
Yeah. No. Yeah. So many have fallen.
To 2017.
Yeah, truly. And then she's back in like a little bathrobe, terry cloth slippers, eating potato chips. Russell, who hosted Saturday Night Live the night before, also felt like a shock to me. Did not remember how relevant he was to be hosting Saturday Night Live. Russell Brand is exhausted, or knackered, as he put it. He couldn't have been more delightful, Lisa says. No yelling, nice manners. Asks, how are you doing, sweetheart? And we get to see like this moment of them all together. The whole family is also there. Her dad, her mom, her grandma, all in matching like silver gowns. And Katy Perry, I remember this red carpet look well, is in this like amazing silver sequence bra with like white feathered angel wings.
Yeah, she looks so beautiful.
She looks so good. She looks so good. We will be posting photos. The Grammys featured performances by Lady Gaga, Mick Jagger, of course, Eminem, Bob Dylan, CeeLo.
And she did not win.
She did not win.
She was nominated. She was nominated for 4 awards and did not win any of them. But as a small consolation, neither did Justin Bieber for Best New Artist.
I know.
And because of that, she's like, you know, I just like don't take anything for granted. There are so many different talents out there that are just waiting to be found. There are 500 other girls right behind me. And I know that because I was one of them.
It's real.
Sending emails, looking for jobs in newspapers, making phone calls. I wouldn't be working at this pace now if I didn't know that fame was fleeting. But if the core, the honesty, my story isn't working, then all those bells and whistles aren't going to work either.
And now we get this like sweet little moment in the hallway as they leave. Lady Gaga comes up to her and congratulates her on her wedding and says like some, as Lisa describes it, supportive girl to girl, star to star stuff. I have heard in recent interviews, Chapel Roan talked about how like every pop idol that she grew up loving has like reached out to her and been like, hi, I'm noticing your stratospheric rise and I just want to let you know, like, you're going to be okay. Or like, I'm here if you need anything. And it is so sweet to think about that happening, because for some of the like original cast, nobody was there for them. That was like not the ethos of the time.
And I mean, Katie says, sometimes I can be distracted by the glamour and fabulousness, but my husband always reminds me to keep the core intact because that's what matters. This final quote doesn't come off to me as like the really annoying, like kind of cloying conversation that stars have over and over again with us as press, just being like, you know, I'm just like so grateful to be here. Like, I just really appreciate every opportunity. And when you hear that, you're just like, mm-hmm. The amount of times you hear the word like gratitude or grateful, I mean, I can't even, and it's probably true, but it just is like, yep, here we go again. And yet, like, this quote feels fresh. And I don't quite know why, but I just believe her. I believe her when she says, I just think I have to appreciate every day, every opportunity, work hard, and continue to evolve. There's not a genre she won't touch. There's not an artist she won't collaborate with. If she has to be an alien with Kanye West, she'll do it. There's just, the sky's the limit, it seems, when it comes to her insistence on being one of the great pop artists of our time. And whether you kind of love her or dislike her, you can't discredit her work ethic and her like just sheer passion for the entertainment industry. She loves it.
Crazy. I mean, yeah, she like performed at the Hotel Cafe. Like, she did the thing of like, I'm coming to LA to try to make a name for myself.
Okay, well, that leads me to my question for you, which is, would you like to interview her?
I think I would.
I feel the same.
I totally would. I think that she would be a really lovely hang.
I also just have a lot of respect for her. And for anyone who's been in this kind of harrowing a world for this long, I would just like love to know what it's like to weather that inside and out. And also, by the time she reached this kind of fame, she was well and truly an adult. Like, she was 26. I mean, a baby, but an adult. And you're able to see that in such crystal clarity, I think, when that frontal cortex is developed. And mm-hmm. that is so interesting. Like, you could get a real perspective on what it was like from kind of like an outsider almost.
Yeah, completely. That's so true. 26 is so different from 16.
Yeah, it's not a Billie Eilish trajectory, you know? It's like I plugged and I plugged and I plugged to be here.
Yeah. And she's been famous, capital F, for so long now. I'm so curious if she retains this, I don't know, ability to just not take it personally. The fact that she had it at 26 feels just incredible to me and advanced and shocking of like, yeah, I don't care that the Sesame Street people were angry. Like, whatever. I don't care what people think about my relationship and I don't care what people think about my boobs. She says, she's like, I'm selling albums. I'm on a tour. I don't care.
I'm very like justice for Katy Perry off the back of this profile.
Yeah, I feel the same. People described her as like really fussy to us. I feel like that was like the hidden misogynistic agenda that I was fed.
Yeah, I'm wondering where my impression of her has come from. I don't know what it is. Like, it's like too deep. But I remember something similar of like diva-esque. But who knows if that's true? Like, I actually just don't know.
No, you know what it is also? It's just too much. She was like one of the people of like, it's too much. She's doing too much. Like, I feel like I heard like other moms talk about her like that of like, ugh, the boobs, with the boobs and the hair and the wigs makeup. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
And that was so judged for so long.
And I don't know if you saw, but there was this viral moment where Russell Brand published a photo of her without makeup, just waking up.
Yes.
This was while they were together. And that photo, I mean, that's such a violation of privacy and trust. And she like really plays it off as like, that was like a fun moment in this profile. And she was like, yeah, no, I mean, I don't hold that against him, whatever. But like, to be so cool about that when, to your point, like the Kardashians have such like a perfectly curated image. And yeah, she is obviously like larger than life whenever she's on stage, on screen. And then just to be like, obviously it takes a village to get this look together. I don't just like pop out of bed with a full face. I think that was really important. I mean, look, we can't forget 2011, peak Victoria's Secret era. Like, it was so important for women to hear that perfection was unattainable or only attained with many, many people and a very talented editor, you know? So I think she's cool. I've like come away from this being like, this girl is cool. She's always been cool. She's got great taste. And we owe her a lot.
We owe her a lot. She's cool. I think she's cool too. I think that's really, that is the takeaway.
And she doesn't get credit for it. Like she does not get any credit for being cool. She get, it's all like Katy Perry's goofy or like Katy Perry's a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm starting a campaign here and now. Katy Perry, cool.
We will do a listening party for her album release.
Okay, stop promising these like astronomical events. You keep throwing it out.
I'm like, we've rented out Disneyland and we will be inviting 100 of you to come along with us.
You're like, I've turned my wedding into an Uncover Girl meet and greet. Yeah. See you there.
Flying everyone
and
out.
And wait.
What?
Ding, ding. You will be getting married in Santa Barbara.
I know.
Katy Perry's hometown.
Where she's from. Where she's all from. I know. And it's this profile really is on the heels of her marriage. I know. It's all there. The signs. It's, you know, everything's coming together for all of us. Me, you, Katie.
We can only pray that she performs live at your nuptials in Simlish. That is my dream.
That would be a dream beyond dreams.
Bye.
Uncover Girl is lovingly crafted by Beatrice Hazelhurst and Ivana Ryder. If you want to get even deeper under the covers with us, you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/uncovergirl or follow us on Instagram at uncovergirlpodcast. Rate Uncover Girl, write us a review, and share your favorite episode, Shawn Mendes, Rolling Stone 2018, anyone? And we will be your forever fans. Love you.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 2 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.